I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but in that little part we just read, right around those verses right around there, if it's divided into little couplets in your Bible, I'm going to start reading it. Verse 161 of Psalm 119, it says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." If you read that first phrase, you'd think, that's not fair. Something unfair has happened to this person. But it says, "But my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Talks about our focus. I don't know about you, but I don't like when I get unfair treatment. You know, most of us are on the lookout to make sure that everything's fair and balanced and you're treated correctly. But the psalmist here says, "I've been persecuted without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Next verse says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Then the verse we read, "Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." Before I make the spiritual application, if somebody that didn't know who God was, and they just picked up a Bible and read these verses, they'd say, this sounds like a fanatic. This sounds like a fan. My worldly illustration is, when I was a little kid, I had my favorite TV shows I like to watch, but it wasn't enough just to watch my favorite TV show. I had to have all the action figures. I don't call them dolls, but I had to have all the action figures for my TV show. I had to have all the books that they made about, you know, I was a fanatic about things that I cared about, and I wasn't satisfied. You know, Star Trek, I didn't have all the spaceships and all the action figures because I was a fan. And if you read this verse and you weren't a Christian and you weren't a believer and you read about somebody that delighteth in every word and that was only concerned with being standing in awe, you'd say that person is obsessed with whatever he's talking about. He's obsessed with seven times a day. That's somebody that has nothing better to do in their life than to focus on this one thing. And in this case, is what we all should be focused on. It's the law of God. It's keeping righteous judgments. But I can tell you for sure, the person that wrote this, the psalmist that wrote this, was not without sin. Because the Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. And that's an encouragement to me. Because I do make too many worldly illustrations. I do look at things the wrong way sometime. And we're all sinners. But it talks about great peace. It tells us we can access the peace of God. And I know that the person that wrote this wasn't perfect. I appreciate some of the testimonies this morning. This church was started to be a second chance for people that needed a second chance. And I read these verses and I think, maybe I'm not there where I should be, but I want a second chance. I wish I could be that way every day. I wish I could say seven times a day, do I praise thee. I wish I could always have that great peace. And I want to give you some perspective tonight. I have a short little outline talking about great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, the word offend there doesn't talk about what we think about today when I say, you have offended me. You know, we get offended over little things. I think about brothers and sisters, or brothers and brothers and sisters. We kind of live to offend each other. When I was a little brother, when I was a little kid to my big sister, I liked to aggravate her on purpose. She'd close her door to her room, and I'd pile pillows and blankets and everything, so when she opened the door, it would either all fall on her or she'd feel trapped. When I got older, I started experimenting with electronics, so I would rewire her speakers where they sounded all garbled, or one time I went too far, and I was trying to remove all the electricity from her room. I was trying to pull the sockets out and disconnect all the wires, and I reached in and grabbed the terminals and shocked myself. But we do it on purpose. We try to aggravate and offend because it's fun to do sometimes. And I see it in my own kids now. Aaron and Arnie will be playing a game together, and Aaron purposely will get Arnie trapped even in a video game. He'll build a room with no doors and then trap Arnie inside this room just to aggravate him. But that's not the offense it's talking about. It's talking about being a stumbling block or enough to get you off the path completely. Talks about an Old Testament law in Leviticus. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. So it talks about the things that we do to aggravate, not those things specifically, but things that would get somebody so off the path that they can no longer serve God, no longer have that great peace. But it says, even those stumbling blocks will not offend someone that has great peace and because they love God's law. So my title tonight is Don't Get Offended. And if you love God's law, and again, I told you the person that wrote this, the psalmist that wrote this, was not without sin. They had days when everything didn't go right. They had outside circumstances. Now, it's inspired of God, and God told them to write it. But as an example, they had times in their life where things didn't go the way that we want them to. They had things happen that they wished had gone differently. But if you love God's law, you always have a choice. And this is what I want to bring out of this verse tonight. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's a choice that we all make each and every day. It doesn't say, great peace have they that always keep God's law, or great peace have they that always understand every law of God. It talks about that fanaticism of, I want to understand it. If I don't get it yet, I want to get to the point where I do understand it. If I don't understand it all yet, I want to get to the point where I do. I want to love it exceedingly. I want my love for God's law to grow. And thankfully, it doesn't say that you have to keep God's law to have that great peace, but it does say you have to love it, that it ought to be your desire that when you do stumble, when you do get offended, you get back up and say, no, I love God enough to strive to serve him, that peace that passeth all understanding. And again, you might have things happen like that the psalmist said, somebody's persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. It doesn't matter that things are happening to me outside of God's outside of what is right, not God's plan, but outside of what is right, my heart stands in awe of thy word. It's peace with God. It's peace because of what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. The only way we can get that access is through faith. The Bible says in Romans, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That faith in Christ is what gives us access to that great peace. We can't have it any other way. It comes from a love of God's, of the law of God. It comes from a love of wanting to do what God has for us to do his will. But the only way we even have access to that is through faith in Christ. So, don't get offended. You always have a choice. Instead of getting offended, number one, choose to pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. And tonight, I want to tell you, I had some people in mind when I wrote this outline, and I want you to think of some people in your life that you just something about them. They don't get rattled. They don't get ruffled. They have that great peace. And even when you're rattled, even when you're aggravated and you try to aggravate them, you try to offend them, they're unoffendable. You can't get to them, and they have that peace that passeth understanding. And one of the reasons they do is because they bathe every decision in prayer. They pray without ceasing. They pray about the things that you would say are silly. They pray about things that you would say you don't need to pray about, that because they're fanatical about it. They love the law of God, and they bathe everything in prayer, and they always give thanks. Number two, instead of getting offended, and again, not just picking on each other, but instead of getting off the path, instead of getting so hurt that you stumble and fall, number two, choose to be an encouragement. And again, I had some people in mind, but I want you to have some people in mind as well. People that choose, whether they're being attacked rightly or wrongly or being persecuted, they choose instead of retaliating or reacting, they choose to encourage. The Bible uses the word edify, to build up, or exhort. Study God's word, not just for your own benefit, but in order to help somebody else. Some of the best times in my life were not when God said, here's the solution to your problem, Adam. Here's the verse lights up and bells go off, and here's finally the solution to the problem that you have. But more so when God says, I need you to take this and tell it to somebody else. They're having a tough time. I need you to take this truth and share it and exhort somebody else, encourage somebody else, build somebody else up. And most time when you're going to help somebody, you'll receive the help that you need for yourself as well. So choose instead of being offended, choose to pray. Choose instead, again, it's a choice because all of us could choose to get off track, but choose to encourage, number two. And the number three, choose, and this one's a tough one, but instead of getting offended, choose to rebuke and to push back against the sin that you see around you. I think about this with my own kids, my own family. There's plenty of times where it'd just be easier to not say anything and just let it go. But it never gets better when you do that. If you don't acknowledge it and confront it, it gets worse and worse. And there's plenty of examples of that I'm sure you have in your own life where you just don't want to deal with it, so you put it off, and it literally piles up and piles up and piles up, and it never gets better. It always gets worse. But again, at each of these points, I want you to think about somebody in your life that has that great peace, that doesn't always, you don't always understand how they have it in the circumstances they're in, but they choose to pray, they choose to encourage, and they choose to rebuke sin. Again, you say, well, someone's at peace. They don't have to confront every sin. They don't have to, you know, put a mirror up to somebody and say you're not what you should be. But they choose to do that. The Bible says in Galatians, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There's joy that comes with doing something yourself, you know, using your own hands and fixing the problem. For every man shall bear his own burden. Then it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's personal responsibility for each of our actions. If you sow strife and discord and sin and lying and cheating, that's exactly what you're going to reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then it says, it goes from the singular to the plural. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The verse I read said, every man bear his own burden. There's another verse right next to it that says, bear ye one another's burdens. It talks about make sure that you've got it straight in your life and then try to help somebody else. Be a teacher to somebody else. We shall reap if we faint not. The harvest is worth all the weariness, the teaching of others, so we can reap it together, so we can say, hey, this is how you do it. And that part of that is rebuking. Part of that is correction. Part of that is pushing back when you see somebody doing something that you know is not right, and it's correcting them. And again, no one ever wants to be that person, but God encourages us to do that. Instead of getting offended and saying, I'm never talking to that person again, I'm off the path, I don't care, I'm not confronting it, he says it's better, and the way you stay unoffended and have great peace is to confront it, to rebuke it, and go to that person with the word of God and make it right. And then number four, my last one, is don't get offended. Instead, choose to love. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Brother Jeff prayed tonight for choir practice. He said, God give Brother Adam mercy and grace. And I said, you know, I need all the mercy and you need all the grace. But all mercy and grace comes from God. If you have to listen to me, you need grace. I need mercy. But the God of all comfort, thanks for saying amen right there. The God of all mercy, God's the one that provides it, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Instead of being offended, choose to love. And that means acknowledging that God has comforted you. God has shown mercy to you that you don't deserve. God has given grace to you that you don't deserve. And decide to share that with somebody else. We're only able to give comfort because God has been comforting to us. Choose to love. It's a choice. My wife stole part of the sermon. If God lays something on your heart, go ahead and there's a reason that you're being burned about that. There's a reason that God has put them on your heart. And you're the middleman. You're supposed to, God says, hey, get this to the person that needs it. And he doesn't need you to sit on it. He needs you to get it to where it needs to go. Pass the word along. Be a conduit. Be a messenger. Choose, instead of being offended, to be a conduit of God's love to somebody that needs comfort and love. The only reason God gave it to you is so you can share it with somebody else. You're not going to run out. You're not going to lose it if you give it away. You're going to get more. But the only reason God comforted you was so you could share it with somebody else that needs it. And again, for each of these, I hope that God has put somebody in your life where you can say there was plenty of chance for them to get off the path. There was plenty of reason for them to be offended, but they chose to pray. There was plenty of reason for them to be discouraged, but they chose to be an encouragement. There was plenty of reason for them to be quiet when sin was around, to just let it go and not say anything, but they confronted sin. They saw where it was going to hurt somebody that they loved, so they confronted it. And there was plenty of reason for them to try to keep God's love to themselves and be offended at somebody, but instead of being that way, they chose to love. That was my introduction, my outline, my 4 points. Now here's my conclusion. In the last few days, we have lost some people that meant this to me in my life, just in the last few days. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. One of the last times I talked to Laurel and Marilyn, I thought I was offended, and I wanted to call and confront them about it turns out I wasn't, but I thought I was, and I wanted to talk to them and give them a piece of my mind, even though I don't have very much to give out, but I want to talk to them. So I called them, and they put me on speakerphone, and I was talking to them for a good long time. And again, in the first few minutes, I realized that I agreed with them. I thought we had a disagreement, but we really didn't. I didn't get to know them very long, so I've only known them a few years compared to many of you. But the first thing they did was they quoted the Bible to me. And they weren't preaching at me. They just said, here's some scripture we were studying today. We were praying for you today, and we read this in the Bible, and we thought maybe you needed it. And first I thought, how dare they? And then I thought, well, no, that really makes a lot of sense. I never thought about it that way. They prayed with me. I've had lots of people say, I will pray for you. I have said this to many people, I will pray for you. And I really do. Later on, I go pray. But they said, let's pray. And I said, well, yeah, I'll pray. And then they said, no. And they started to pray. And just right there on the phone. And they said, we're not hanging up until we pray about this. And again, I got convicted. And I thought we had a disagreement. That was the reason that I called them in the first place. But they shared scripture. They prayed for me. They encouraged me. Now, it turns out I was almost completely wrong, and they were almost completely right, and from my point of view. But instead of them being offended at how wrong I was, they encouraged me. They told me that they love me. One thing I remember is I said to Brother Laurel, you know, I know that we don't agree on everything. And he said, Adam, we don't have to agree to love each other. We don't have to ever see eye to eye on this to love each other. And again, he was right. I was wrong. But he showed love, Marilyn, the same way. And I know it was a choice. I know, especially in two or three situations that I can think of, they would have been right to be offended, to treat me differently, to write me off, but they showed love. Again, that example, sorry, that example is no longer with us. Now we can remember them, we can love their memory, but we've lost some this week. And I believe that God is calling some to take their place, to say, you know what, there was nobody like them, there never will be, but we need another example of that caliber. We need another character or two, another example of love and patience and rebuking sin and exhorting and prayer. We need that example. And again, we don't have to agree. Again, we get hung up on saying, I have to agree with everybody. You don't have to agree with somebody to love them. In fact, a lot of times, you have to have somebody with a different perspective to really show you what you need to be. They can't agree with you on every area of life, or they won't give you the perspective that you need. And that was certainly true for both of them. They made that choice. And again, it is a choice. They made that choice to love God's law. They made that choice to pray when it would have been easier to get offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And again, real quick, choose to pray. Choose to be an encouragement. Choose to rebuke sin. Choose to push back against discouragement and that feeling that we all get from time to time. They actively fought that negative feeling. They said, it's not going to be around me. And choose to love. And I don't know about you, but I feel like some of us have leaned on people like them that, you know, as long as they're around, we don't have to be as peaceful, as great a peace person as they were because they're around. Well, they're not here anymore. And God needs more examples of somebody that actually follows the word of God and says, we're going to pray about it. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to do what needs to be done so this body can function the way that it should as believers. So I got convicted. I got more convicted when people started testifying tonight. But I know God laid this on my heart, and I hope that as you thought about people tonight in your own life, you'd say, well, it was good that they were there for me. I need to be there for someone else the same way that they were there for me. So that's what the invitation is tonight. If you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ, God's the one that gives us that access to that great peace. And if you've never trusted Jesus tonight, we can show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure not only that you have a home in heaven, but you can have that great peace that passeth all understanding. You can have that starting right now if you trust Christ as your Savior. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the patience that you have with each one of us. I know, Lord, you've given me mercy. I know you've shown grace. I know you've, all joking aside, you have given grace to the hearers tonight. I pray, Lord, that you bless this invitation. Thank you for good examples, both present tonight and those that have already gone on that were an example of this concept, this idea that we don't have to agree to love each other. We don't have to agree on everything to be an encouragement and to be a prayer warrior and to be to confront sin. I pray, Lord, that we'd learn from their example, that we'd be someone else's example as we move forward in the church of God. I pray you bless our invitation tonight. Thank you for each one that is here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.